Welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Here are your hosts, Daniel Meyer and Chris Tatro.
All right, happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Today we have a guest that I have had a relationship with over the last couple years. Pretty excited to have him here. Gentleman's name is Chris Britton. Chris Britton is with Rapala. We also have Dan on the podcast today too. So thanks for being here today, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on.
It's kind of nice to have our listeners here who supports us and some of the things that you have in the hopper. You know that Rapala has been very supportive of Hometown Hero Outdoors and also with Strike Master. They donated some float suits for the Matson Strong King Eider waterfowl hunt, which we're excited to be able to use up in the Bering Sea. So Chris, do you want to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of who you are and what your background looks like?
Sure. My name is Chris Britton. I am the consumer service manager. I'm also a social media manager and then our Ice Force pro staff manager over at Rapala. I've been there roughly 10 years now.
So you wear quite a few hats.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us do. Yep.
So what do each of those jobs entail?
So consumer service, we have a department and that's literally what it is. It's phone calls and emails and it's just helping customers with a variety of different topics, warranty or order stuff. And then social media, obviously pretty obvious. I'm running and managing all of our pages. That includes Rapala, Facebook, Instagram, Ice Force pages, Strike Master, Storm. So all of the brands there as well. And then Ice Force Pro Staff Manager. That's just managing our pro staff team on the ice side. So that's scheduling them for events and working contracts and all the good stuff. So that one's a fun one.
That's a lot, actually. I mean, and yeah. Social media is no joke, though.
Is the social media for the Rapala as a whole or just the USA?
Just USA, yeah. Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot, but you know what? It really is fun. I get my hands on a lot of content before anyone else gets to see it, especially on pro side, and it's really cool. It's fun.
So with the social media, you said just the U.S. Is there additional overseas stuff?
There is. So there's all kinds of Rapala distributors or headquarters all over the country, and they kind of have their own pages that they run too. Europe, Japan, I mean, you name it. They've all got their own pages. Canada, they're separate too, so they've got their own pages they run as well.
And they're still headquartered out of what? It's Finland, right? That they got started back in like 1936 or something like that, right? Almost 100 years.
Yep. Finland is where the headquarters is. Yep.
That's the mothership.
Yep.
And then they kind of help call a lot of the shots here in the US.
Everyone kind of has their own sort of customer base really. So, you kind of have to design and create sales to your customer base. So they're fishing different things than we are here and vice versa. So it is different. But as a whole, as a business, we are run as one business. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Let's talk about you in the outdoors a little bit. What kind of passions do you have for the outdoors?
Yeah, I grew up fishing. I was an Army brat, so I fished in all kinds of different states, in Seattle, Washington, Kansas, catfishing, Long Island, catching halibut. And then we finally moved here and I picked up muskie fishing through a couple of buddies. And then just that's kind of been my passion since. I've been muskie fishing for a long time and worked at Thorn Brothers even just because to fuel the passion and get a little break on the deals. And you know, muskie fishing is expensive. So that kind of led to me where I am now. So some of the other outdoor things is I really love to pheasant hunt. I go grouse hunting every time I can. And then my wife and I, we go to warm places quite a bit. Most of the time it's Mexico, but we love to go fishing in Mexico. It's kind of one of our favorite things to do. And Cabo San Lucas and another little town called Los Perriles in the Baja Peninsula, we're chasing rooster fish and marlin and sailfish, all kinds of fun stuff.
So you do get to do some offshore fishing on those trips at least?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Being in the I'm in Oregon right now and I'm actually from Oregon. Did you ever get down on the Columbia River to fish for sturgeon when you guys were here?
I've never had a chance to do that. But if I were to go there, being honest, I would go after the walleyes. It's just, yeah, they're just getting huge in there, and it's world class.
Yeah, yeah. You get over in Eastern Oregon on the Columbia and get some pretty big walleyes out of there.
Absolutely.
So is it now the walleye out there just not really sought after fish?
It's not really a popular fish for people like it is in, you know, the Midwest. Not many people fish for them. You know, I grew up fishing for trout, salmon, steelhead, sturgeon, then the offshore fishing, and I didn't even know anything about walleye fishing until I went to Minnesota a few years ago.
So what's your top outdoor activity then? I know you said musky fishing, and you alluded to not being cheap. Is that your top one?
Well, if I were to choose, I'd be down in Mexico every time. Yeah. Oh. Just love it. It's really fun. Hard to beat sand and palm trees, and there you go.
So with the musky fishing that you do, so how deep into it are you? How many lures you got that you toss?
I wish I could show you my garage. It's ridiculous. I have hundreds of lures, and I probably use 5 or 6 of them.
Right. And the next best thing comes out, you try it for a bit, and you go back to what you know.
Right. And you got to buy a couple of those, right? You can't just get one. So if you lose one, then... So, yeah, it gets out of hand real quick. So,
I've never been musky fishing myself. Mostly pike fishing and other Midwest smaller fish, panfish and whatnot. But is the whole 10,000 casts a pretty accurate assessment, or is it more?
It seems like it lately. The fishing hasn't been that good the last few years. So, yeah, it seems a lot harder than it used to be. Well, it is. So, but it gives it a little more sport too. So.
Did you hit Mille Lacs and Vermilion quite a bit, Minnetonka?
Yep. I fish Tonka often. Vermilion, I'm fishing quite a bit. Lake Miltona out towards Alexandria. I used to fish Mille Lacs quite a bit, but that's gotten pretty tough. So I'll wait until late fall to fish there. But yeah, those are the main lakes that I go to.
World-class trophy lakes. I know Mille Lacs had that. A couple huge tanks come out of it not too long ago, and there's probably plenty more in there.
Yeah.
That fishery's pretty amazing.
It is. It's a tough one, though. It's the numbers in there aren't what they used to be, but like you said, there's still giants swimming around. So
there's probably quite a few people that would argue that the muskie population in Mille Lacs is higher than there not being as many in there anymore, like you say.
Yeah, maybe it. Yeah.
What other fun things do you like to do on your downtime?
That's it. I mean, I spend a lot of time fishing. I really do. If it's ice fishing, that's what I'm doing on the weekends most of the time. And in the summer and spring, I'm in my boat. Or like I said, jetting down somewhere warm and doing it there. It's kind of my main hobby, the one that I do. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So kind of coming back around to Rapel and its origins, do you have much of that history you could share with the listeners?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it started in 1936. Let me pull it up because I wrote this stuff down just so I didn't mess it up. But Lori Rapel, he created the first lure in 1936, and he used a shoemaker's knife and some sandpaper, and he just sort of whittled a minnow profile. And then he used a tinfoil wrapper from a chocolate bar. So he wrapped that around the wooden lure. And then he melted negatives from a photography thing. He just melted that over the top, and that gave it a protective coating. And he obviously just started catching a ton of fish doing it. And granted, this is in Finland. So the word took a little while to spread here in the U.S., but it did spread like wildfire in Europe. And word spread, and you know, the rest really is history, as far as the starting of it. So just Lori Rapel at tinkering with some wood and other different ingredients,
just trying something new and different, and ended up working.
That's some pretty serious innovation there too, for, you know, taking those random pieces and putting them together and catching fish for pretty much the same profile for, you know, what they're still using these days, right?
Right. And prior to that, I mean, it was a hook and bait, you know, so he really thought out of the box and it worked.
So with the progression of Rapla and how the lures, you know, started from there, like how do they go about trying to figure out what's the next best thing. I know you said regionally everything's different, but you know, just speaking to what you know here more in the Midwest, like how do you guys go about figuring out what to do next?
It comes from a whole lot of different sources. It can come from our pro staff, feedback from pro staff, our sales teams who talk to our dealers on a regular basis. Dealers will tell you kind of what they're interested in or what their sales are, what they're seeing in trends. Our sales reps also give a lot of feedback. And then we have a whole, just an enormous product development team. And that's their job is to think of new ideas and get the ball rolling. Whether that new idea works or not, that's still what they do. It's their project. So it is watching something come from nothing and then into something that is sold on shelves is pretty impressive.
And the project development team, a lot of times, you know, they're developing stuff a while out, right? And they're giving them to the pro staff team to, or the, like the Ice Force team to test out, right? Before,
yeah, I mean, some of these projects, right? Some of these projects will take years. It's they'll sketch something out and send it away, and then they'll get a sample back and they test that out. And if that sample doesn't look right or doesn't run right, then you know it's back and that's communicated, and another sample is built and sent back, and we test that. And sometimes it hits right away, and sometimes it takes a few years. And like you said, once they think they get it dialed in, then it comes into testing with pro staff, and pro staff give their feedback too. And finally, if everything goes right, you get your end product.
Where do they do a lot of that development at?
So the thought process and the sketching and the ideas come from all different distributors. From us, it just comes from us directly. And then we communicate that to Finland, who in turn will sort of build what we're thinking. They send it to us, we test it, take a look and see, and then you just keep doing that process until it's complete.
So or not.
Sometimes they don't always work either. So
yeah. And so then Finland's the one who essentially is putting together the prototypes essentially?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. And then I know when we were at your guys' headquarters here in Minnesota that you guys had a big water tank that was in there. What is that used for part of that process?
Yep. So that is what it is. It's a bait testing tank. So the product development teams will tie it on and they'll swim it. They'll use it like a jerk bait or they'll reel it in like a crank. And that's how you see how it runs and what it does.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You guys got a pretty cool facility there. The headquarters, no one's been there yet. You guys should definitely swing in if you get a chance. Obviously, you got to call them and ask. But they have a lot of different memorabilia around there when it comes to things in history, when it comes to Rapala. A lot of different fish mounts and also photographs of some more history from the Rapala side of things. And then they also have their whole Strike Master department that's attached to the building too, which is pretty interesting because you guys have an auger in there, right, from the Grumpy Old Men?
Yeah, yeah. So we have the actual auger that was used in the movie Grumpy Old Men, the first one. It's pretty cool because it's still a brand new auger. It really was never used, but their special effects teams really made it up through paint jobs and denting it up, and they really made it look old and used, and it's really cool, but it's still a brand new auger. Basically. So yeah, we have that on our display, and anybody who comes in with a warranty issue with their own auger or whatever, they just come to our shop, they can look at it. It's sitting right on the wall for everyone to check out.
Is there anything that people need to do in order to, you know, come in and check out the shop? Just send you guys an email or
just yeah, I mean, by? As far as Rapala headquarters, we aren't really set up for any tours, to be honest with you. It's a lot of cubicles and office space. But Strike Master, like I said, if someone has an issue with their auger or they, you know, need something tuned up, come on in. So.
And then you guys got that display when you first walk into the main facility with all those different lures. Now, how many lures are in that display, do you think?
Yeah, so that's a big case. I would say there's over a couple of hundred. I don't know. I never sat and counted them, but there's a few in there that are discontinued that we'd all like to get our hands on them, though.
Probably worth some money.
They're just cool colors that work really well that you just can't get anymore.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then yeah, we've got listeners kind of all over the place. And you know, you mentioned a few times the different kind of, you know, the companies within Rapala. Can you explain to, you know, our listeners what the difference is
as far as our brands are?
Yeah, as far as the brands go.
Yeah, so Rapala is sort of the family head, I suppose. So there's the Rapala family of brands. So obviously there's Rapala. And then in that umbrella would be Storm, Terminator, Blue Fox, Strike Master, Ice Force. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few. Williamson. Oh, and VMC, of course. VMC Hooks is now under the Rapala umbrella. So all of those brands are part of the Rapala family.
Don't you guys have a partnership with 13 Fishing as well? Or correct me if I'm wrong.
So, yeah, there is a partnership on the international side. Absolutely. So they are now officially part of the Rapala family of brands too. So
13 Fishing. Yeah, no, they're big supporters of HHO as well. They are very good to us and help provide us with equipment, at a good cost for the nonprofit. And we're able to spread out their product throughout our teams as well. You know, all our field staff have to do is put in a request for certain products, and they're very helpful with us and being able to get more of our members out in the outdoors. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, a great brand. They put out some good stuff.
They do. Yeah. You know, every year we usually purchase quite a bit of stuff for our annual banquet through them. And those items usually go like hotcakes. We can't keep them. It's quick.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking through my questions here, and part of what I want to talk about too is Strike Master itself. So could you just give us a little bit of history of Strike Master, maybe what the infancy of the augers looked like with Strike Master, and walk us through what we have now?
Well, as far as the Rapala side of it, we purchased Strike Master in April of 2012, and we've been running with it then. The major changes that came once Rapala took it over or purchased it is the move away from gas and then into electric. So we came out with some electric options and still had gas, which gas was still our number one seller. But now, in the last 2-3 years, it's been nothing but electric. So we have no more gas. It's all discontinued. And it's moved completely into lithium-powered, battery-powered auger. So that's pretty cool. We walked right into the future with this brand.
What was the first electric auger that came out again? Was it the 40?
So for us, yeah, it would be the 40. Well, actually, it was the lithium laser was the first one. So that was okay, a 50-volt. Yeah. And then we ran that for 5-6 years. And then during that time frame, we were developing the 40V. Came out with the 40V. No need for the lithium laser anymore, and discontinued that. And then since then, we've come out with the 24-volt, which is a little smaller, lighter weight model, too.
How does that one hold up to the others? Sorry, Dan.
It's incredible. It holds up just fine. Totally durable. Really fast. Probably just as fast as the 40V, really. It just cuts less holes because the battery is smaller than a 40-volt. So it's 24 versus 40-volt. So less holes, but...
And you guys have probably seen a pretty good uptick in sales with the electric augers compared to the gas augers, especially the last few years when, you know, it seemed like everyone was buying ice castles or, you know, the ice shacks, and being able to get out and do stuff when we were all working from home, and then froze. that kind of went into the following years.
COVID was a big sales year for us, and that's just like you said, everyone was working remotely, and a lot of people were working remotely in their ice houses. It was pretty incredible. I don't know if anyone made it out to Mille Lacs during COVID, but it was impressive. It was a large city out there.
Yeah, it was a large city to begin with before all that went down, but even more so now, you know, especially with the onset of wheelhouses and the availability, especially with the COVID stuff going on, everyone was looking to do something different, get outdoors, you know, and kind of drove the price up on quite a bit of the ice shacks that are out there. But yeah, no, the market probably should be good for used wheelhouses sometime here in the near future, I think.
That you just don't see them anywhere yet. So it's interesting. People are really hanging on to them, and yet there's a bunch of new sales too. So,
and you pretty much have to, well, with Ice Castle, I know that you can go to some of the lots and they have stuff on the lot, but a lot of them are going customized now too.
Right. Yeah, they're getting pretty in-depth. It's impressive. That's what's great about electric augers, too, is those folks in particular, they're not blowing a bunch of gas fumes in their home and they only need to cut
right
six holes max, maybe what, and it's just they rip right through it with their battery and then they plug it right into their outlet and they're charging it again. So it's a no-brainer for those folks. And even the ice fishermen like me that are outside all the time and drilling a bunch of holes, it's still advantageous because I'm not bringing a can of gas with me. I'm getting just as many holes as I ever did with gas. Well, with two batteries, we're close. It's enough holes. It's light. Everything's lightweight, so I'm not lugging around a ton of weight like we used to. And if it's really cold, it's not that fussy. You know what I mean? It just starts. It's electric, so it's awesome.
Yeah, and then for a testament to the products that you guys have, you know, with the upticks in sales and with you working with the customer relations, did you see any, you know, uptick in like the warranty claims or, you know, people trying to return stuff as well, or, you know, everything
hold up
pretty well?
Another cool thing about electric augers is there's just not the bells and whistles or the mechanical parts that a gas auger has. So a gas auger can break down in a million different ways. It's just a gas motor that just comes with it, especially small gas motors. There's just a lot of parts. There's carburetors and all kinds of different parts. So those things are breaking down. They had to be tuned all the time. Electric augers, there's just really not a whole lot to them. You just put the battery in and go.
Yeah. And then for the people that, because I know there's probably still plenty of people over there in the Midwest that are hesitant about going from the tried and true gas augers to the electric, you know, even though they've been around for quite a while. What's the warranty process look like for you guys?
It's pretty cut and dry. It's 2 years from the date of purchase on the motor and the battery. 1 year on the drill. Those get really abused. And it really is, if you're within that warranty period and there is an issue, we just take care of it.
Well, I had a 40V when they first came out and had the two batteries on there, and I never had an issue with them. It was a very good auger. And honestly, we were up on Big Marine Lake with some other field staff and board members, and we actually had a contest on who could drill the most holes the fastest, and the 40V took the whole cake. It was awesome. But
that was when Tony thought he was gonna smoke you, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, no, he got smoked instead. You're welcome, Tony. I know you're gonna listen to this, so we'll just throw back to 4 years ago. But no, it was a great auger. You know, I actually bought mine for my ice castle when I first purchased one for that exact reason. You know, no smoke or fumes in the ice house. It feels like it took anywhere a couple hours sometimes to get the house completely cleared out with fresh air and
right. You can throw it in reverse and push the shavings down the hole. You don't have to scoop anything anymore, and it's a lot easier.
Yep, and probably have a lot of listeners in the South that are going, "What are you guys doing?" You know, like, we crawl these big ice houses out in these lakes, you know, and we're drilling holes. And I mean, there's labor to it, you know, it's work, you know. And back in the day, well, still do it, but without that reverse element on those augers, you would have to scoop out all the ice shavings out of the hole, and sometimes you forget that, and next thing you know, you're using your hands, which is not the best move.
Right.
But the whole new feature with the reverse was pretty awesome, and it does help out quite a bit and expedite your time and get you more time to wet your lines a little bit longer. So no, it's pretty awesome, you know. And with the two batteries that we originally had when you first purchased the 40V, it came with two. I had no issues with, you know, temperature or anything like that. When that was the big worry was how much these charges hold on these new augers. And, you know, I never had a problem at all. Leave it in the truck, keep it warm. You know, even if you left it out for a little while, I didn't have any issues with it getting up and going again.
Yeah. If you get into really cold temperatures, you do have to kind of keep a mind on it. But I mean, it's as simple as throwing it in the cab of your truck or even putting it in the pocket of your bibs when you're out fishing. That's enough to keep it warm. So, and it isn't really the performance of it. It's just, if it's cold, it won't take a proper charge. So when you need to go and recharge it, it just needs to be warmer. So.
Yeah, they're very good augers. I ended up selling mine, just change of life stuff. And I need to get another auger sometime soon. So that new one's on the top of my list. Switching tracks a little bit though with your pro staff team. Do you want to talk about the pro staff team and what that looks like and what they do out there? I know we're pretty close with Tony Roach. Tony's provided a lot of trips to us and our members. Tony's a stand-up person who spoke at our last banquet as well. But could you give the listeners a little bit of idea what it looks like to be pro staff and what they have to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a wide variety of pro staff that's on our team. So we have around 30-some folks, men and women. We have Maggie Carcello. She's a pro staff for Ice Force and Strike Master. Really proud to have her. Social media guru, just really entertaining person. So there's one part of it. There's the social media part of it. Then there's your Tony Roaches of the world, who are world-class guides and take people out by the hundreds every year. And then we have the, just like I said, it is all kinds of folks that just whatever they bring to the table is important. So, like and I said, social media, guiding, those sorts of things.
So mostly everyone has their own niche, essentially, that they engage with the Rapla Pro staff side.
Yep. And most of these folks have a name prior to us, too. So, you know, we go and find them. So if we feel like they're going to be a great addition to the team, then we go and find them. So, and really a pro staff schedule, there's some fun to it. We do, a get together every year. We usually just go to the Red Door on the north end of Mille Lacs, and we just fish the break there early ice just before Christmas. We do a big photo shoot and hang out, have dinners and fish together. And it's just a ton of fun. It's just a chance for us all to be together as a team. But also there's the shows and the events, and that's what we need help with mostly, is just staffing those events. So, you know, your St. Paul Ice shows, the Blaine Sports Center shows, even, you know, your dealer shows, like all the Shields, they have ice events. Reed's has an ice event, those sorts of things. So we need pro staff to go there and help these dealers out with their sales. So these events tend to be really busy. And the folks that actually work at these dealers, they have their hands full and they can't answer everybody's questions. And that's where we come in. So we help our dealers answer questions about our products, and then that helps them complete their sales.
Yeah. It's good having the people out there like the Tony Roaches that are, you're using the products, you know, pretty much every day throughout the year, being able to talk about them and, you know, explain what each thing does.
Yep. And it's nice to have, you know, that sort of a quality of person on our team too. And Tony in particular, nobody drills more holes than Tony does. And he's not going to lie to you. He uses the 40V, and that's all he uses. And he just drills hole after hole after hole after hole. And he just doesn't have issues with it. And so he stands behind it. And it's great to have him.
I remember the very first time I met Tony Roach. I was on a Mille Lacs wearing a uniform, and I pulled up on a snowmobile, and he's got these line of anglers, probably 10 or so. And he's got two people helping him out, just pounding holes everywhere. And this is the first time I really even checked a guide out on Mille Lacs. And it was pretty interesting because I was watching Tony talking to him. And while he's watching all of his clients, you know, the people that he's guiding, to seeing what everyone is doing and what they're catching and where they're fishing. And he was constantly changing their techniques just to ensure that they're able to get on that pot of fish and get his clients some fish on the ice. And it was just kind of interesting to be able to see his mind work and how he's already thinking 2 to 3 steps ahead of what he's going to do at that current time, and the process behind it all, but also had top-notch equipment with him too.
There's few people that think like a Tony Roach does, and that's why he's in the position he is. He's able to figure things out, and he always does.
And you talked about the shows that happened there in Minnesota or the Midwest. Does Rapla do other shows across the United States, regionally?
The ice side is kind of an enigma. So that's where these shows are happening. There's sales shows or dealer shows. And a lot of it is ice. On the open water side, I mean, we have our ICAST show, but that really is more of a distributor show than anything else. So really these shows and these dealer events are mostly ice.
Are you guys at the South Dakota, the Sioux Falls show too?
The Shields one?
Man, Dan, help me out. Which one is that one?
Oh man, we just talked about it the other day.
But probably.
Probably.
The Ice Expo in Sioux Falls. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, we're going to be at that one this year. HHO is going to hold a booth there. So I was just curious if you guys are going to be there so we could maybe have our guys swing over and say hi to them and do a little meet and greet with everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We'll
Google
pro staff and sales reps. I might be there too. I know. We'll see how the schedule works out.
I heard it's a pretty big show though.
Yep. Most of them are. Yep.
I know the ICE show here in Minnesota, we're generally there every year, and it's a good opportunity to go and network with individuals and see the new products that are coming out and maybe establish some further relationships down the road. I know a lot of times we end up meeting with other guides that are there that allow for them to create a relationship in order to take some members out. So it's a pretty cool deal to go in there and see. It's, if you've never been to one of those shows, you really should get to them. It's a lot of fun. And, towards the end too, a lot of people give discounts.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, one of the great benefits of it is you get a really good sale price generally. So it's worth taking advantage of.
The one in South Dakota is the Dakota Angler Ice Institute.
Okay. Yep. We do staff that one. Absolutely. Yep. That's a huge one.
Well, we'll have to send our guys over and say hello then.
I'll probably be there too.
Okay. Well, yep. I'll have them come meet you then. So transitioning a little bit too with the Strike Master side, you guys recently got into the float suits.
Yes.
So what did that look like? What got you guys into that realm?
It just was sort of an empty hole for us. So we just started sniffing into it and seeing what we could come up with. I don't know if you guys remember years ago, Strike Master had the old red suit.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost a collector's edition now. I mean, people were nuts for it and they still are. So we figured, let's see if we can come up with something a little more modern, but still kind of look like it, and had all the Strike Master branding and sort of the patch coloring to it. And that was kind of our first suit we came out with, and that one did float. And now we're deep into all kinds of different models, and one that doesn't float and three that do. And three that do. There's a women's suit too. So we've just branched out into it. And the floating is great. It adds an element of safety to things. If you unfortunately do happen to go through, you'll float. It's not going to save you from hypothermia and all kinds of different things there, but it'll keep you above water. And it just floats and floats and floats and floats. It doesn't sink. So you've got time for someone to help you and pull you out. Or, if you have your ice spikes, you have time to get out. You're not struggling against the water, trying to keep your head up. You're floating. So you can get right into trying to save yourself.
Hopefully avoid that cold water gasp, and don't take in all that water. At least you're on top and you can at least orient yourself and figure out your next plan for everything.
Yeah, and it's a scary thing to think about, but it happens often. So,
yeah, it happens constantly. And even if you think you have good ice, ice is never 100% safe, no matter what you do. And checking that ice where you go is paramount to your safety. So having that added safety barrier with that float suit is very helpful. And they keep you really warm too, just when you're sitting out on the ice angling.
I think that was one of the first things I was told when I got to Minnesota in the winter of 2016 going into 2017 was don't believe what you see on Facebook about the ice reports. Make sure to check for yourself, even in the middle of February.
Yep. I'm a big proponent of that too. That ice, thin ice scares me. It just scares me. So you just got to be careful. You have a big old spike with you and test it as you go and kind of look at the ice and watch for the bad spots and just keep your ice peeled.
So one of the cool things that Rapala has done and Strike Master as well is we got introduced to you guys through a pro staff that I don't think he's with you guys anymore, Hawthorne. I think he's moved on to other stuff, but he introduced us to the officer Mattson Hunt. And Strike Master stepped in with Rapala to help provide Eric with some float suits. And I know the listeners have probably heard other podcasts, but with Eric Mattson, the officer that was shot in the head out of Waseca, Minnesota, his dream hunt was to go to a King Eider waterfall hunt. And we're actually headed up to St. Paul Island, and today we actually finally got official word after a year delay with COVID that St. Paul Island's now been reopened. So what made you guys want to help out with that hunt?
Well, a lot of reasons, but the main one is it was, you know, suggested to us by a pro staffer. So we never take anything that they suggest lightly, right? The next thing was the law enforcement side of it. There's a lot of us, well, not a lot of us, but a few of us that went through law enforcement training at Rapala, and me and myself included. So it is kind of near to our hearts. It's important to us. Another lady that works with us, Joan, her daughter works for the St. Paul Police Department. So it's just sort of a thing that we have at Rapala just through family and experiences in life. So that was important. The other thing, it was just practical, right? So he needed something like that, and we were able to offer it to him. So the practicality of it, that he just needed help on that end, and that he'll actually use it, was huge for us.
Right. Yeah, and part of that is that these King Eider waterfall hunts are in layout blinds in the water. So literally we're going to be in the Bering Sea laying in there. So a lot of people might think, well, why would a float suit be beneficial? Well, actually, the coloring of the float suit that was donated actually is a very good coloring for what we're doing in the ocean. It blends in really well with your surroundings. It's a darker gray color, which helps out with keeping the hunter's camouflage. And not only did Strike Masters donate to Eric Mattson, but actually everyone who's going with. So we have six of us going, and we did not anticipate for that donation to happen at that level. So that was pretty cool. So not only does Eric get to wear one, but also his friend Jeremy and his uncle Paul. And then also our camera crew that's going up with Rogue Productions for the documentary. And then myself as well, I'm going to go to assist, and they donated one to me as well. So that's very generous of you guys, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and if anything, it'll keep everyone warm too. Like you said, the flotation adds a lot of warmth to it. So, and it's going to be cold, I'm sure. So,
you know, and Eric and his, you know, disabilities too, you know, that was a big concern, you know, with the water, the big water, you know, how are we going to be able to properly outfit him with something that floats just in the event an incident occurs, and that float suit is going to come in clutch for that need if it's needed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not only being able to, you know, float if an incident does occur, but also keeping him warm. You know, from the conversations that we've had with them, you know, one of the things is, you know, being able to stay warm, and Alaska in January isn't going to be warm at all. So having those suits is going to be crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't watched The Deadliest Catch, you guys can see, how incredibly cold it gets up there. There's also another show out there called To Kill a King that you can find on YouTube. And there's an individual baseball player who goes up there, and you just see it's just brutal temperatures, constant wind, snow, rain, sideways wind, constantly blowing. So it'll be very beneficial to help keep Eric warm. I know he's very appreciative of it all. And he actually got to come in and check out your facility too.
Yeah, that was awesome that we actually got to meet him and you know, shake his hand and talk to him too. So Eric's a great guy, and man, I just hope he's able to shoot a whole bunch of ducks and have a bunch of fun.
You know, it's been a little while since you guys saw him, but he actually is doing a lot better now. He went back down to do some additional rehab, and they did some things with him. They're really revolving around this hunt. They were worried about eye dominance issues, so they trained him with that, and they got him an airsoft gun to practice with so he could shoulder it and swing it and practice that way. So, you know, not only is these donations helpful for Eric to complete his hunt, but it also gives him inspiration to work towards. So we're pretty excited about that. So what, we're 5 months out, 4 months out now. So we're getting closer, and we're pretty excited. So we really appreciate you guys helping out with that.
No, and we're excited to see how it goes.
Have you guys, have any reports, or have you ever tested these suits in salt water?
Not in salt water, no, but salt water is more buoyant, so the better.
Yeah, I think we voluntold Dale at Rogue Productions. He gets to jump in the ocean with it on to see how it does.
I was just going to say, let's try not to test it, but if anyone is going to be the perfect test person, it's Dale.
Yeah, it's Dale.
Yeah, that's going to be cold, yeah.
he was more worried about his camera equipment getting salt water on it, which I totally understand. That stuff's not cheap, but that's another element to add to everything. Well, very cool. So as far as becoming pro staff and whatnot, what kind of requirements or what would you kind of advice would you give to people who might be striving to potentially become pro staff with you guys someday?
Yeah, it's a tough one to answer. And a lot of it comes down to us finding you for various reasons. So whether you're a guide or you have a large social media following, it's a reference from another pro staffer. That's kind of how we get our team built. You know, we get resumes and emails by the hundreds every week. And unfortunately it just goes unnoticed because of the volume of it. So if anyone is looking to be pro staff, it's get yourself involved in the industry and go to shows and show your face. And if you're a guide, you know, advertise yourself, and that's how you get noticed. And that's how you get sponsorships. It's just showing that, hey, you know, I am making a difference and people do see me.
Yeah. So you're saying that the people that are, you know, you hear all the time on social media, that the people that are trying to get some free product from a company, it doesn't help just to send you like an Instagram DM.
It doesn't help at all.
Asking to be a pro staff.
Yeah. And it sounds harsh, but it's true. Like we can barely even thumb through it. It's so many. The requests are just, it's incredible. So you know, if on the ice side, if you really want to get into that part of life and pro staff, it's like I said, go to the ice shows and guide, or, you know, build up your social media and it'll come. The more you work and put in, it'll come. But it takes time and you got to build it, but it'll come if you put some time into it.
Yeah. And then, you know, outside of the pro staff stuff, you know, for the everyday fisherman, whether that's, you know, someone that's just starting out or someone that's been fishing for a while and maybe never tried the Rapala products, is there any specific products that they should look at, you know, first getting into it, you know, fishing for, we'll go with, you know, walleye
on the ice side or open?
Let's go open water. We've talked quite a bit about ice fishing.
Sure. So I mean, it's hard to beat a few things on the walleye side on the open thing. So you can just do a simple bait rig. So that would be a lead weight swivel, leader, hook, and then you'd use a minnow or a leech, and you're dragging that along either with your trolling motor or your motor, or, you know, you're drifting. That's the main way to do it. On the Rapala side, you know, it's really hard to beat in the springtime. At least my favorite lure in particular is a husky jerk. In the springtime, walleyes are getting up shallow and they're spawning or getting ready to spawn, or they're just done spawning. They're shallow, and there's no more fun way to catch a walleye, in my opinion, than on a crankbait or a jerkbait. It's just too much fun. Another favorite way I like to do it is jigging wraps, and you can do that shallow water, deep water. It's an underlooked open water lure. It's really popular on the ice, and it always has been, but for open water, it's pretty underlooked. It's growing, but it's still underlooked. And walleyes just love the action of a jigging wrap.
I mean, I started using jigging wraps a few years ago ice fishing, and then I did some open water stuff, and someone threw one of those on my line, or told me to anyway, and I was kind of shocked because I just thought it was an ice fishing type deal, but turned out that they actually do perform really, really well with open water too.
They really do. It's pretty eye opening actually. And if they're fussy, you know, put on a VMC jig, like a sleek jig or a hammerhead jig, and put on a minnow and drag it along nice and slow. So.
Then, you know, you brought up, you know, going down to Mexico and fishing for some of those bigger fishes. Is what you love doing. Does Rapala have any products for, you know, out fishing down in those areas?
Yep. So we have a whole line of saltwater lures. There's saltwater X wraps, and then there's the Magnums, and there's a whole line, and they all get used by me. And I prefer to do it the artificial way. It's more fun.
I just want to make fun of Dan for saying more fishes or big fishes.
It's multiple species according to the DNR in Minnesota. Fishes is proper.
Fishes, yeah.
I like it. Well, that's pretty cool. No, they got a quite a wide variety of different items that you can utilize, and VMC has quite the amount of setups that you can use and make variations of too. One of the cool things that Rapala does for us too is I think it's last two, maybe 3 years, you guys right around Christmas time put out a code for our members that they can utilize for your guys' website and select items, right?
Yep. Yep. So it's basically anything on the website, and you get a percentage on those items. So, yeah, we love doing it. We'll do it again this year too. And, you know, certain people get it, and it's just sort of a thank you from us too. So,
yeah, just another way that Rapala supports what AJHO does and the members that we have between military service and law enforcement. So we know every year everyone's asking and waiting right before Christmas time on looking to buy their gifts for significant others or themselves. You know, they're always knocking on the door asking for that code. So we really appreciate you guys helping out with that, you know, and also it helps fuel people's passions. You know, there's everyone's always itching when hard water comes around to get the newest, latest and greatest things, especially with open water too.
Speaking of newest and greatest things, you know, by the time this podcast airs, a lot of people in the Midwest are probably going to be looking at purchasing, you know, their ice fishing equipment for the year. Is there anything that you can share with us that you guys are releasing new this year, or is that still under wraps?
We haven't quite announced things yet, but we do have a new auger version coming out. I can talk about it because we're going to release it here soon anyway. But it's the 40V Lite, and what that is the 40V powerhead, 5-amp battery, and it will come with the Lite Flight synthetic drill. And that will come in an 8-inch and then our brand new 10-inch Lite Flight drill. So that's the key reveal there. We'll have a 10-inch Lite Flight drill. Oh, wow. So a lot of folks have been asking for that one, and we're finally able to develop it, and it's good to go. And we'll release it this year on the 40V powerhead.
That's pretty cool. I know a lot of people probably been looking for that 10-inch, especially for those wheelhouses.
Yeah, wheelhouses and folks sturgeon fishing and just anyone who needs a bigger hole than normal.
Yeah, especially those sturgeon fishing they talked about with the Mickey Mouse those holes, you know, doing it with an 8-inch auger. You know, you can still Mickey Mouse a hole. And when I say Mickey Mouse, you end up drilling a series of, you know, 2 to 3 holes together. So you have more space to get a fish through the ice. And with the 10-inch auger, that will give a significant amount more of room for that fish to get through.
Yeah, and then compare that to the old, if you compare that to the old metal drill, the savings on weight is pretty cool. It's around 3 pounds. So it's,
oh, wow,
it's a big deal. Yeah.
And those 3 pounds make a difference, especially, you know, going out to fish on the river early or late in the season for going after sturgeon, or, you know, even going on the lakes early or late ice. As much weight as you can save, the better.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, even if you're, you know, doing some of those walkout on early ice and stuff, you know, people aren't bringing equipment with them. They're bringing their sleds and pulling it behind them, you know, 10 to 15 feet, you know, just those 3 pounds are going to make a huge difference for when people get out earlier and save on that weight anyway.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Any other products that you can kind of hint at, or is that a,
yeah, that was a big reveal there. Yeah. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's all coming. So just keep your eyes peeled, because we're going to start releasing this stuff on social media and different platforms, our media partners, and we'll start releasing that here in the next couple of weeks.
That's and cool. As far as the social media goes for people to follow you guys have Instagram, Facebook, any other social medias that they can hop on and follow?
Yep. Another one that people forget about is YouTube. So we have a Rapala YouTube page and then an Ice Force YouTube page. And there's just an incredible amount of content on both. And YouTube's the deal these days. Everyone's watching it for whatever reason. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to check it out. There's all kinds of great tips and information on our products, and it's good stuff.
Do you want to give an idea of who you have on pro staff too? Maybe our listeners would like to try and follow some of them.
Yeah, the best way to check it out, if you just go to our website, rapala.com, at the top we have a series of tabs. Those are our brand tabs. And if you go to the Ice Force one, you'll see Ice Force Pro Staff. You click on it there. And everybody who's part of that team will show up. That's the best place to check it out, learn about them. But, it's J.J. Malvitz. It's Jamie Dietman. Like I said, Maggie Carcello, Tony Roach, Beef up in Baudette. just a ton of different people. And the great thing about it is we've had them for so long, and we've all been a team for a long time. We're all pretty close knit group, and we're all really good friends.
And we'll make sure that those links for, you know, the pro staff and then the social medias get tagged in the description of this podcast as well. So that way everyone doesn't have to go finding it.
Yeah. They don't have to listen to me rattle off 30 plus people.
Yeah. You got quite a few, I suppose. Yeah. That was a long list for me to request.
And I guess we're getting kind of close to an hour here. Is there anything else that you want to share for, you know, the listeners about, you know, the family brand of Rapala's, or any other advice for anglers just starting out that are shopping on the website, trying to find the perfect product for them?
Yeah. I mean, don't hesitate to reach out. We're super, super, responsive is a good word. Send us an email, give us a call, all the contact information is there. Whatever questions you have, ask. Another thing too is come visit at the ice shows. We have our own booth up there where that's what we're there to do. We're there to answer questions on customers and help them, you know, make a decision, whether it is StrikeMaster or Rapala or not, whatever fits them best. But they can come talk to me, or they can come talk to our pro staffers or our sales reps. And it's a pretty cool deal. That's one of the benefits of going to a show is, you know, you can do all the research you want online and on YouTube, but talking to someone who's actually used it and knows a lot about the product makes a big difference too.
And what's the first show that you guys have coming up, you know, this fall going into winter season?
I would say if you're in the Twin Cities area or, you know, in Minnesota, even in Wisconsin, come to the St. Paul Ice Show. It's the Super Bowl of ice shows.
Absolutely.
Everybody's there. All the pro staffers, all industries, all the distributors, all the dealers. So there's just a wealth of product and new things and information, and it's really cool. It's hard to miss if you're into that.
Yeah, get there early, beat the crowds.
Get there early. Yeah, they have this VIP thing now where you can get in 2 hours early, and it's a little bit more money, but it's totally worth it.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. No, yeah, very good. I just want to say thank you very much for your guys' support and everything you've done with HHO, especially Eric Mattson. It's been very refreshing to have companies like yours be able to assist and support the members the way they do. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, that's the least we can do. And again, we're all really excited to see how this shakes out. So we're just really hoping he can shoot a bunch of ducks and it's a good trip for him.
Yeah, it should be
a good time.
Our listeners will be able to actually see a part of Rapala and StrikeMaster in the documentary when it comes out as well.
Cool.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate all you guys' support. You know, not only with the Eric Mattson thing, but you know, with the organization as a whole. And it's definitely refreshing, you know, seeing these large companies that have been around for, you know, almost 100 years now, still being around their roots and helping out organizations like ours.
Yeah, it's just really exciting to be a part of, and we couldn't be more proud, honestly.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on, and for all of our listeners, you know, make sure to tune in to our future podcasts, and until next time, we'll see you guys out on the water and in the woods.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. For more information about Hometown Hero Outdoors, visit our webpage at www.hometownherooutdoors.org.